Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil and very much connected to Parashat Pinchas. We are studying the third pasuk, Gemalah tu tov velo ra. Yesterday we learned a chidush that in the world of Chesed, which we know the tremendous value of kindness, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, the world is built on Chesed. It was created because of Chesed, and people will create their success in all important areas of life through kindness. Olam, each person is a Olam, and that world called the person will be able to find tremendous koach and tremendous hatzlacha through kindness. This we all knew already. But maybe what is not so obvious is what we learned yesterday, that there is something called Hasadim Tovim. There's something called a Chesed that's Tov. As we say in the Amidah, that Hashem does Hasadim Tovim. Seemingly, the definition of kindness, it's good. But there seems to be Hasadim Tovim and then Hasadim Not Tovim. There's a good Chesed, and there's a chesed that's not in the category of tov. That's what we learn about the great Eshet Chayil. Gemalah tu tov. When she does her chesed for her husband, she does chesed that's tov. Velora. And she doesn't do chesed that is ra. Chesed that's ra is a chesed that is off the mark. Chesed ra is not the type of chesed that builds the world. Olam chesed yibaneh is talking about a chesed tov. So many people involved in so much chesed every single day. But the question is, are they involved in Chesed Tov? When a person is giving to his spouse, that's called Chesed. You give them money, you give them attention, you give them food. But is it Chesed Tov? Is your Chesed in Chesed Tov? When you're giving charity and you're helping those in need, you're doing chesed. But is it a chesed tov? When you give your children advice, money, food, love, it's chesed. But is it a chesed tov? The answer to the second question is very critical. Whenever you hear somebody speak about kindness, most people shut their brain off because it's unnecessary. How much chesed is each person involved in? Now they're going to come and tell me chizuk on chesed. That one I'm good at. I think most of us, if not all of us, are good at helping. We do chesed for so many people. Family, friends, neighbors, community. That's the Jewish people. But remember, the key is the question, is it chesed or chesed tov? We explained yesterday that chesed tov means a chesed that is done without any kind of expectation for a return. Certainly not demanding a return, not expecting a return. A chesed that is done purely to help the one in need. That's what builds a marriage. Kindness, you will find it in every marriage. But chesed tov is very rare. A very rare kind of kindness. A husband and wife, they do tremendous chesed for each other. But they also expect a lot from each other because of what they do. While, of course, the recipient owes tremendous appreciation. But from the giver's point of view, why are you doing for your children? That's a very big question. It's not so easy to answer that question. Don't say it's all for them. Don't make it sound so simple. Could very well be that when we give our own children, we have some skin in the game, as they say. It's something to do with me. Maybe I want to be known as the person who gives my children. Maybe I want my children to look at me as someone who gives his children. Maybe I look at my success in life as giving to my children because of their connection to me. When I give my children, it's like giving myself. Even giving children requires a breakdown. Pure giving is giving with no other motive except to help somebody in need. That could be your son, could be your daughter. Why do you give your children? Because they need you. Not because one day I'm going to get nahat from them. One day they're going to become great people. One day they're going to pay me back. One day they're going to appreciate me. No. I give my children because they need me. Chesed amiti. Why do you give your wife? Because she needs. Not because you're going to say to yourself, wait, if I don't give, how am I getting back? It's a partnership. If I don't give her, how's she giving me? If I don't take care of him, how's he taking care of me? I don't know. That's not called chesed amiti. That's not what builds a great home. It's not bad. It's not evil. But it's not the chesed that builds. And so too in all relationships. Is a very high level of chesed. A marriage that's built on such chesed is a marriage of Gan Eden, without a question. And it's very rare. We explained yesterday that the whole essence of a woman getting married is chesed, at least the way the Torah views it. We mentioned yesterday what most people may not even know, is that there's no mitzvah on a woman to get married. There's no mitzvah for a woman to have children. She's not commanded. After 120, she has 10 children. She risked her life 10 times. She toiled and raised them. And when she goes to Shamayim, they say to the husband, Hazak Baruch, you got all the mitzvot. She doesn't have a mitzvah to get married, not a mitzvah to have children, which is mind-boggling. If anything, the one that should have the mitzvah to have a child is the one who has the child. the one who's putting all the effort, he gets the reward for her having a child. Wild concept. And we explained yesterday that this is exactly what Hashem is sending in a very strong message to the home. He's sending it to the woman in this case, but it's to the man as well. When a woman gets married, it's not because she's fulfilling her mitzvah. It's not for herself. He has a mitzvah to get married. Well, he needs her. To do what? To do the mitzvah. We're talking about higher level people, you understand? Not the people on the street. People who do things out of mitzvot, they do things because they see their obligations. Why is she having a child for? Because he's commanded. How is he supposed to have a child, this man, if I don't help him bring a child? That means the very definition of a marriage is from a point of view that I'm here to help him. I don't even get a mitzvah for this. If I got a mitzvah, so I'm doing it for me also. I'm not even getting reward for a mitzvah. That's the way Hashem wants the home to be built. I'm doing it to help him. Of course, she will get tremendous reward. Her home will be her reward. Her shalom, her children will be her reward. But it's got to start with an act that is selfless. Why would I get married if I don't get a mitzvah? To help him. And this is the theme of a great marriage. Tell you a story. It happened some years ago in Eretz Yisrael. A wonderful young lady. Really wonderful young lady. Ready to get married, and she set up on a shidduch. Her parents were given the name of someone that's supposed to be very hashuv, very beautiful, midot, a ben Torah, someone appropriate for this young woman. And he picks her up, and they go on their first date, and she comes home, and she tells her mother, "Mom, did they tell you?" "They tell me what?" "Did they tell you that he limps? He has a limp. He doesn't walk like a normal person." Mother says, "What? He has a limp? They didn't tell me? The Shatchanit is my friend. She didn't tell me that she's setting me up with a boy who's limping." You can imagine the anger. You can imagine the pain. While this is going on, the father comes home. He sees what they're all upset and nervous about. And he says to his wife, "A person who limps, that's a blemish that's recognizable to all eyes. It's not a hidden blemish. A hidden blemish you don't have to say when you set up somebody." Interesting. If there's a hidden blemish and he can't tell or she can't tell, well, you have to be open to share. But an open blemish, they can see for themselves. They like, they don't like, it's up to them. She doesn't have to tell you. So don't get upset with her. Okay. Now they're figuring out how to call the Shadchanit and tell her that we're not moving forward.
They don't want to say the reason is because the guy is limping, make the guy feel bad.
So they're trying to figure out what they're going to say to finish Veshalom. And while this is going on, this young lady says to her parents, says, you know, I'm thinking about it. He's a very fine young man. Really, his character, his midot, he's a very fine person that I went out with last night. He says, but they told him, but he has a limp. A mother says, what are people going to say? The father says to the mother, I don't know if she should go out with him or not. But they asked once Rav Steinemann, a great rabbi, about shidduchim. He says the first rule of shidduchim, of going out to get married, is that you don't ask what they're going to say. The what they're going to say is such a block in people's dating. Instead of looking for the person that is fit, for the person that is right, so much of the decision is, what are other people going to say? Other people who don't live with you, other people who could care less if you're doing great or not. The first rule, could you imagine what the rabbi said? I would have given other first rules. The first rule, this is a man who lived 100 years and was involved with endless amount of people. The first rule in the world of shidduchim is, he says, I'll bring it to you. He says, Al ma yomru abriyot. What will people say when they see me with this gal? What will they say when they see me with this young lady? That's the question on the mind of the father, the mother, the girl, the boy. That has to be eradicated because it's not important. What's important is what you're going to say. What's important is what you have. So many people have not reached the person they need to reach because of this silly reaction. Ma yomru, what will people think? Now, people don't say that, of course. They're embarrassed to say that. But that's what they're thinking. The father says, in this home, we don't do that. The young lady says, I see he's a quality young man. He's someone I could build a house with, and I could help him. He has a limp, but I could help him. And sure enough, she went out again. And sure enough, they got married. I'm not telling you to marry people who have a limp per se. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is when a marriage begins with such an attitude, that's a marriage that's going to be built with tremendous success. That's a marriage where the person getting married is thinking about the other one as much as they're thinking about themselves. So even if you marry someone who's fully healthy, and who's fully healthy? If you would know what's inside of them, you'd realize a physical limp is the least of your problems. People are limping all over the place. Happens to be the limp is the one that people see. So that's why you have to, you get nervous. But if you have a good Scana, you'd see a lot worse.
When a person goes into a marriage with such an attitude that I'm here to help, I'm here to make this person successful. I know they're not perfect, but that's why I'm going to come help them. Such a mindset in a relationship is the ticket to Gan Eden. You will look in any relationship that is either broken or not where it's supposed to be, and you will see a tremendous amount of selfishness, a tremendous amount of expectation that the person is not receiving. She's not doing this, he's not doing that. Chesed Amiti builds relationships. Gemalat Hutov, the Eshet Hayil, her chesed is the chesed of Tov. It's applied in so many ways, with so many people. And it's really a shift in mindset, which is, I think, for most of us, if not all of us, it would be a very big shift to think in a different way. It's like a muscle that's been doing the same thing for 50 years, 60 years, to now change its course is not so easy. We've been selfish from the time that we're born. We did nothing wrong to be selfish. It's the way we were born, and then we went through school in nursery, selfish. Go look at a nursery class of little children. They don't know much. They don't know how to add. They don't know how to read. They don't understand too many things. But one thing you'll see is they understand to be selfish. Everyone's trying in that classroom to figure out how they're going to be the guy. They're all working. Just look for 10 minutes and you can't miss it. It's the nature of a human being to want everything for himself. And therefore, even when he gives, he's thinking about himself. I'm going to be involved in helping people. You know why? So one day I'll be recognized as the guy who helps people. That's a big deal. Someone once asked me, Rabbi, you know how much I do for people? Why else would I do it? I told him, you don't want me to answer that question. Because I have a lot of good reasons why else you would do it. Don't convince yourself why else you would do it. What am I getting out of it, he tells him. I tell him, start writing. There's so many things that go through our mind before we help somebody. Is he worthy? What am I getting out of him? Is it a good investment for me? I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying, that's our nature. Talking to myself. You see a guy, to help him, first thing you do is you size him up. What is he going to do for me? Now, in the future? It's the nature of a human being. But that nature doesn't build homes. That nature doesn't build relationships. That nature doesn't build a great life. A change of nature. It's not so easy. Try it. It's not so easy. To be pure-minded in helping somebody. Somebody is in your home without any kind of expectation. Something to strive to reach. One act at a time. One thought at a time. It's worthwhile. And don't assume that that's what we do. Be very, very clear. The assumption is we do almost none of hasadim tovim. If you tell me I did hasadim once in my life, I'd be surprised. The rule is, that's not the kind of chesed we do. Don't be offended by it, because we're all in the same boat. That's the way God made us. That even when we help others, we're thinking about ourselves. But that's something that we need to change. And it takes going to the gym of chesed. It takes first the knowledge. You first have to know that this is a fact. One time, a young lady called me, not so young actually. At the time, she was older than me. Lady in her 40s. She called me up, she wanted to talk to me. She's having all kinds of issues with her husband. All kinds of issues. She's describing her husband to me. I can't believe I'm listening to her. He ignores her. He doesn't do this. End of that. But the whole time I'm listening, I'm shocked. Because that guy, I know him. And everybody knows him. A lot of people know. At the time, he was the president of a very big organization in the community that is helping people. He was the guy. I'm wrapping my head around this story. He's the guy. Don't try to guess who he is. Doesn't matter. Go back 20 years. Don't worry about it. Not the point of the story. How can a guy be Mr. Kindness in his home? But the answer is, of course it could be. Because hasadim tovim can't be. You can't be hasadim tovim outside and not in your home. That doesn't work. But the hasadim that you are investing, of course you could. Why not? Here is a worthwhile investment. Over there, it's not so worthwhile. Simple. So it's worthwhile to put this perspective today before Shabbat. Think about making one act, maybe the first one, that's completely dedicated. Think about the person's need and do it just to make them happy. It's going to be even hard to think that way. But you got to push yourself. Give something to your wife completely because she would appreciate it. And not thinking in yourself that you're investing. It's a big step. Do it for your son, for your daughter. It's a big deal. One time I had a man come over to me, recently actually, and said, I don't know what to do with my wife. So, okay. I think a lot of people could say that the answer, that question. What's the problem? He says, she doesn't pay attention to me. Doesn't really respect me, doesn't ever the whole thing. I thought, no. So how do you feel? He said, I feel terrible. I thought, I want to give you a formula that could change it all. He didn't believe me, of course. So I told him anyway. And I gave him a whole half hour on Hasadim Tovim. I told him, go into that house and you start doing selfless kindness for your wife. Selfless. Just because she needs it. Because like we said yesterday, even the feelings that nobody could see, but everyone could feel. I said, I guarantee you, if you put that into your relationship, it's just a matter of time that you will open up something in her lev And that's the way it was. Ka'achava. When we do hasadim tovim, not only is it something good that we do, but it is infectious. It turns the whole place to have that same desire. I want to share with you something about the Eshet Hayil and every great person. Another kind of hasadim tovim that maybe we don't think about, but we should. She should know this great woman that a tremendous hesed that she does in her life is a hesed she does with the creator of the world. I once had a conversation with a woman who had a few children. She was blessed with 2 or 3 children. And she came to speak to me that she had a drive inside of her to do hesed. She wanted to help people. She wanted to open up an organization for mothers, an organization for whatever. And she asking me for ideas of what she can do to fill up this thirst that she has inside of her for hesed. So I told her, I said, how would you like to do a real hesed for the creator of the world? I said, would you do a hesed for him? Like if Hashem needed you, if he needs you, would you help him? She says, anything. I said, do you know what is the first idea about the Creator that we know in the Torah? What is the number one thing we know? The first time the Creator revealed his ideas to us humans. What was the first one? Meaning the first thing on his mind. That's what it means, the first one. It's the one he had to tell us before anything else. Before he told us don't steal, and before he says don't kill, and before he told us to make berachot, and before he told us. The number one thing on God's mind that was released right in the beginning. When the gates were open, that's the first one that came in. The first one. I told her, first is Peru Urbu. Hashem says, my desire for this world, you know what I like? My desire in this world is that the world should be inhabited by as many people as possible. And I can't do it. Of course, God could do whatever he wants. But he decided he can't do it because he wants us to do it. I told her, the greatest kindness you could do in this world is bring a child to this world. There's no greater kindness for the kid, and there's no greater kindness for the Creator. You're looking for ways to do kindness. You want to open up organizations. You want to just have a child. A child is hesed amiti with him and with the Creator who says, that's what I want. Ezeu hasid, says the Zohar. Who is a real hasid? We know who he is. Who's a real Baal hesed? Look at this one. Zohar HaKadosh says, who is a real Baal hesed? I'll read it to you. Says the Zohar HaKadosh,
איזה הוא חסיד? הוא איזה בעל חסד המתחסד עם קונו.
The one who does חסד with Hashem.
Did you ever do חסד with Hashem? Maybe, maybe, think about it. Every time a woman has a baby, she's doing kindness with Hashem.
Now, most women don't think about that. And when you don't think about it, it takes away from the tremendous value.
When you have a baby, this is your kindness to the Creator, because that's what He wants. And He can't do it. He needs you to do it. You know the feeling of a woman who gives birth to a child to do kindness for the Creator, that what that feels like? The gift of giving a child to the Creator. Listen to the words. Listen to these words of Hannah. Look how precious these words are.
Hannah was a barren woman. And we know that it's very difficult to go through life without having a child.
The Pasuk says, Behi marat nefesh, marat nefesh. She was a bitter woman, married for so many years without a child.
We can understand that. We can all appreciate that. But the next three words, I don't know if we can appreciate. Someone shows you a woman who's childless, and they tell you the woman is a bitter woman. You say, I get it. I understand. I got it.
Let's pray for her. Let's help her. But the next three words, we would never think. Look at these three words. You ready? Behi marat nefesh. She was bitter. Vatitpalel. And she prayed. Hannah's prayer is the foundational prayer of all Jewish prayers. We learn so many halachot from her prayer. Hannah's prayer was a powerhouse prayer. But listen to the words. Vatitpalel al Hashem. And she prayed to Hashem.
Oh, wait, no, that's not what it says. It should have said, Batit Palel
El Hashem.
When you say to, T-O, in Hebrew, it means, it's the same El.
Ani Omer Elav.
I say to him.
What does that mean? Batit Palel, and she prayed, Al Hashem.
The word al means for.
You want to know why Hannah was bitter? Because she wanted Hashem to have a child from her. She wasn't praying for herself. Vatitpalel al Hashem. Hashem, I'm praying for you. You want children. I want to be able to provide that for you. Who could dream of such a thing? You're probably thinking this is impossible. Really, people think like this? But you never met Hannah. You never met such a person. She's bitter. Why? Because she can't do for Hashem what He wants. But it palel al Hashem. Go figure.
She says, and she made a vow, just in case you think this is like a little fog. She makes a vow, and she says to Hashem, if you give me a child, Untativ Lashem, I'm gonna give him to you. I'm not asking for a child to play with. I'm not asking for a child to be in my house. I'm going to give him to you. And sure enough, when she had Shmuel, a little boy, she took him to the Beit HaMikdash and she gave him to Eli. So he's your child. You think a woman who didn't have a child for so many years, she takes that child and she's glued to him. She can't part from him. Even if he gets married, she's still tied to him. Today, mothers, they can't release their own sons. They're 25 years old. They're still stuck to them. It's my son. Hannah took her little boy, a little kid, that she's praying for, waiting for, and she gave it to the Creator. Chesed Amiti, having a child, is a tremendous chesed to Hashem. Living life with such feelings changes everything. There was once a woman who writes that she had 2-3 children. She thought she did good. Maybe she had 4 children, whatever it is. She thought she was in a good place. Baruch Hashem. She was blessed. And she says that on Rosh Hashanah, she was very inspired. As she was saying, Hashem Melech, to crown Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah, as she's praying, like many great Jews, on Rosh Hashanah, she was inspired. She said, Hashem, you're the Melech. What can I do for you? People take on all kinds of things on Rosh Hashanah. She said, what can I do for you? And she writes that in one of the Amidahs that she was praying, she said the words, Zochrenu lehayim, Hashem, remember us for life. Melech hafetz b'hayim, you're a king that desires life. And she's reading those words. And she says, oh, here it is. What can I do for Hashem? He's a melech hafetz b'chayim. He wants life. He wants people to live. He wants children. And she says to Hashem, I'm going to have this year, Be'ezrat, if you help me, I'm going to have a child for you. I know that's what you want. I'm having a child for you. You ever meet such a woman? But it could be every woman if she just learned. It doesn't take extra. It's just a mindset. Unbelievable. And this woman, at her 9th month that year, she goes to pray as she does every year at the yod, by the yod site of the Or HaHayim HaKadosh. She goes to pray there. That was her custom year after year. Or HaHayim, the holy man. And I believe that day on her way there, something, she had a baby. A baby boy on the yod side of the Or HaHayim. She called him Haim, the Haim ben Atar, after the great rabbi. Only by the bris, when they said the word Haim, did she realize what a nes Hashem put it together, that her son is called Haim. She wanted to bring life into this world. And her son was named Haim. Life totally changes when you start to become a person who does kindness with Hashem. You see someone who needs your help?
besides helping the guy? You know what else you're helping? You're helping his father. One time, I had a few boys in my house for Shabbat. They were from out of town. I invited them for Shabbat. After Shabbat, you have no idea how many phone calls I got from their parents. Like, they can't believe someone took care of their son. He's away in a place that nobody's around. He has no family, he has no friends.
Yeah, I know.
When you take care of a person, you're taking care of his father and mother. But more than anyone else, he's taking care of the Creator. When you see a Jew that needs help, you say, Hashem, here's a chesed for you. I know you want to help him. I'm going to help him. For you. You're helping him the same. Whether you're a philanthropist, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a rabbi. Hashem, I'm teaching your children. This is for you. I know you want them to learn. This is what I want to do for you. I want to do a kindness for you, chesed for you. I'm going to have a child for you. I'm going to give charity for you. I'm going to teach Torah for you. Zohar, ezeu hasid amit chesed im kono. That's called chesed amiti. Listen to this story. This beautiful story. There was a rabbi in Muncie, passed away, Alav Shalom. Was very involved in bringing people back to make teshuvah. He would make seminars. And he had a seminar on Eretz Yisrael, a Shabbat. And they invite people who are totally secular. And one of the young men that came into this Shabbaton was a man who came from a traditional home, but totally Hiloni, knows nothing, does nothing. And now it's Friday night, and the rabbi is speaking. He's giving an inspirational talk. This boy was sent by someone to come, didn't come on his own. In the middle of the rabbi's speech, he gets up and he says, I need to have a cigarette. But I don't have the chutzpah to do it here. So I'm going to go outside. Yeah, the rabbi's sitting there, Friday night, Shabbat, middle of his talk, this guy's getting up to have a cigarette.
Well, you just say, okay, enjoy. What are you supposed to do in there? The rabbi takes him to the side and says to him the following. Answer me one question. If God would ask you for a cigarette, would you give it to him?
He says, if God would ask you for a cigarette, yeah, you should know that a Hiloni Jew doesn't mean he doesn't believe in God. Just yesterday, I heard a Hiloni Jew from speak in Israel. You would think if you didn't see him, you'd think he's a Rosh Hashiva somewhere. Talking about Torah Yisrael, the tradition of Am Yisrael. He's a Hiloni. Doesn't mean he doesn't believe in Hashem. See, ask this kid, I want to ask you, if God would ask you for a cigarette, would you give it to him? He said, of course. He said, but he doesn't smoke, right? Who says, you know, he doesn't smoke. But on Shabbat, he's asking you for the cigarette. Would you give him the cigarette this Shabbat? Just give him your cigarette.
Just tell him, Hashem, this cigarette is yours.
This young man, after the Shabbaton, Motzae Shabbat,
gets up to speak. They ask the people there to say something. He gets up to speak and he says, all my life, I've been told to keep Shabbat. Don't do this, don't do that, go here, don't go here.
So the first time in my life, I understood that when I keep Shabbat, I'm giving a gift to the Creator. I'm doing Him a kindness. Can you imagine every time you do something and you do it for Hashem? It's a chesed for Hashem. Chesed amiti. Anything we do can go into that category.
How about helping people who are not so observant? How powerful it is to help someone who's far away, who doesn't understand, doesn't know, to bring him to a shiur, bring him to a class. Figure out a way. Why would I do that? Because Hashem wants him. He's Hashem's child. You see, a person, a Jew, is not doing what a Jew is supposed to do. What are you supposed to do? Dismiss him? Do you know he's your Creator's child? Do you understand that he loves him? A few months ago, we took the high school boys, around 400 boys, for a night. A night of inspiration, a night of ahdut. Happens to be that music started to come on and we were dancing. I see 400 boys dancing with their rabbis. It was very warm. And one of the rabbis, as we're dancing, a younger rabbi comes, he's, as I'm dancing with him, he says to me, at this moment, he says,
what are we supposed to be thinking? So I told him, I don't know what we're supposed to be thinking, but I can tell you what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is I see 400 boys. I says, you see 400 people. I said, I see each boy with a mother who's sitting home right now that's worried about him and that wants him to be successful. That's a kid who has a mother that's waiting for him to become someone special. That's what I see. Sometimes you look at people and they're like wholesale, going to Costco. It's 400 people, it's 800 people, it's 10,000 people. This kid's got a mother who's sitting at home right now praying to Elim for him. He's got a mother that's worried about him. Where's my son now? What's he doing? Where's he going in life? Who are his friends? When you see another Yehudi, you're looking at Hashem's son, Hashem's daughter. You just dismiss them? You walk right by, you don't feel that you have something that you can give them and give their Creator? Do a chesed with Hashem. Give the guy a hug. Do a kindness with his father. give him a hug. Invite him to your house. Do a kindness with his father. Hashem wants to also bring him to his house, but he won't do it. He wants you to do it. This changes everything that we do in life. Whether we're having a child, or we're taking care of a child, or helping an adult, or giving kavod to somebody. Do kindness with the Creator. It'll go a very long way. I'll just end by telling you that Hashem tells us that those who bring others close to Hashem, if you see a young man or young lady that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you advise them and you direct them and you teach them and you make them something of quality, Hashem promises, kefiti yeh. Hashem promises that that person has the power of Hashem's mouth. Hashem tells him, your mouth is like my mouth. You bless somebody, it's like I blessed them. You meet somebody that has changed one Jew's life, that's the guy to get a bracha from. Don't be swayed by all the rabbis, fake rabbis, the Kabbalists that walk around and want your money. That guy's not helping you. You're wasting your time and you're wasting your money. And you may be even doing a sin in the interim. A person who cares about you doesn't ask you for money. If someone's going to bless you only because of your money, his blessing is worthless. Someone who wants to bless you has nothing to do with how much you give him. Gemara says, you want someone who gives a blessing? Find someone who's changed somebody's life. Ask him for a blessing. It could be your neighbor. It could be someone right next to you. Kefiti yeh. Unbelievable. Hashem says that I'm going to give this guy the power of my mouth. What happened all of a sudden? Why out of all things, this is the item that Hashem says, I'm putting your mouth like it's mine. Why? I once heard a beautiful mashal. I'm sure this has happened to some people here. Person goes to a large gathering, maybe an amusement park. And they have their children with them. And then at some point they realize that one of the little children is gone. And of course, the first moment, you're not so scared because you figure he's probably there, and then you look there and he's not there. He's like, okay, it's not a big deal, he's probably there. He's not there either. And after a minute passes by, you start getting really nervous. And after 10 minutes, you're getting really scared. An hour later, you don't know what to do with yourself. What happened to him? Is he alive? Someone take him. Someone abuse him. Scariest moments of a person's life. When they lose a child, they don't know where to find. And after hours and days, someone comes and knocks on your door and says, hey, did you lose this? I ask you, what wouldn't you do to that guy? What would you do for that guy? Is there anything you wouldn't do for him? You just brought your child back? Is there any red lines for you at this point? When it comes to doing for this person? That's how it is when you bring Hashem back his child. He has a child, he has children, most beautiful children. The children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the most beautiful souls, gorgeous people. They could be so successful, they could be so pure, they could be so everything. They're lost. They're lost and you can't find them. Someone comes and with a little advice, with a little nudge, with a little this, with a little that, well, all of a sudden, he brings him back to Hashem. Do you understand? Hashem says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What do you want? You bring me back my son? That's called doing kindness with Hashem. And that's what Parashat Pinchas is all about. Parashat Pinchas is all about a man who did a kindness for the Creator when it was so hard, when it was dangerous, when it wasn't popular. As the Pasuk says, Hashem says, Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen, with his act of courage to go and kill a leader of the Jewish people. He has Heshivat Hamati, he has made me more calm, Kavyachol. Hashem says, my midah of anger was the way I was behaving because of what was going on. And Pinchas ben Elazar, he calmed my anger. Bekano et kinati. Kinati means when someone is doing something wrong to you, so you push him away. When someone's hurting your family, so you punch him out. Imagine someone right now came to hurt your children. What do you just stay, watch him? You take action. Hashem says, there was a man that was hurting my family, a man that was hurting my people, and I needed to take action. But I can't take action because I won't take action. That's the way I made the world. But I needed someone to do a chesed for me. I needed someone to do what I want to do. Pinchas bekano et kinati. Lachen emor. Hashem says, go tell him. Go tell him and tell all people after him. When you do a kindness for the Creator, when you do what He wants to do, you have a berit, you have a covenant of shalom. Hashem says, shalom is coming to your life. Shalom means blessing. Shalom is the greatest of all berachot. How do you get shalom in your life? When you do chesed with the Creator of the world. So many opportunities. So many things that we already do. Between us and God. Tonight we're going to keep Shabbat. Maybe for the first time, as you're saying Lecha Dodi tonight, say, Hashem, this Shabbat is for you. You're serving dinner to your children tonight. Hashem, thank you. This is a meal for your children. Such a way of life is a powerful way of life. It changes not only the person, but everyone around them. It's viral. A person who does chesed amiti becomes a generator of chesed amiti. Gemalat huto velora. the Eshet Chayil, who lives her life to do Chesed Amiti, Chesed Tov. She doesn't want to do Chesed that's not Tov. Have a wonderful day.